My, boy, we having a time. I tell you the truth, I'm just enjoying these good singing and preaching and good fellowship with you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here tonight in this great service. Now, in a few minutes here, we're going to have our mystery preacher come around, and he's going to be bringing a message, and I know that you will enjoy it, and I pray that it be a blessing to you and really fire you up. See this man so fired up with the Lord. But before we do that, we're going to have my hero, Brother Ed Ballou. We're going to have him come around. You know, the original founder of the Rock of Ages prison ministry before he was robbed out of his his ministry. But anyway, he's going to sing a song. You can hear him talking about the prison and the people he had dealt with that week before he sings the song on You Never Mention Him to Me. I tell you, I love to hear him sing this song, and I love to hear him when he deal with these prisoners here. And so I hope and pray that it will be a blessing to you, because most of us folks here in the South, we really know who started this ministry, the Rock of Ages. So God bless you now, and I hope that it's sitting back and be a blessing to you. Amen. My hero, Brother Ed Ballou, You Never Mention Him to Me.
The most tragic thing that's happening today is our lack of involvement, our lack seemingly of concern. And the thing struck home to me again just the other day. You know, it's been my privilege in the last 3 weeks to see over 100 people saved. Praise God. Now, if I wasn't a Baptist, I'd shout all over the place. In the last 3 weeks, we saw over 100 people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But it struck home at me the other day again. I'm going to sing that You Never Mention. Struck home to me again in full weight. I spent one whole day on death row a week before last. Sat down. It may seem weird, but sat down in the electric chair. A young man, fine-looking boy. And you know what he told me? He said, I don't look forward to dying. I said, that's not it. But he said, one of the greatest things that ever happened to me was when chains on my legs and guards all around me, they fastened me up on death row. But I remember that first night. He said, you know, preacher, I watched Mama and Daddy go to church. I watched them do their religious thing. But he said, not one time in my whole life did they ever mention Christ personally to me. Not one time. Now, folks, it takes more than ramming a red Schofield Bible under your arm to prove anything. And if you don't care for your own kids, you're in trouble, boy. You're in bad trouble. Well, I'll try to sing that. You better look that up for me there and give me a book with it, please. Sometimes I'm known to forget a few words. When in a better land before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls will be if any lost one there should cry in deep despair, You never mentioned Him to me. You never mentioned Him to me. You help me not to like to see. You met me day by day, and You knew I was astray. Yet You never mentioned Him to me. Oh, let us spread the word where'er it may be heard. Help groping souls the light to see that yonder none may say he showed me not the way. You never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me. He helped me not that light to see. You met me day by day, and you knew I was astray, yet you never mentioned him to me. This boy told me, said, "Preacher, if it had been left up to my own parents who led me to Christ, I'd have never been saved. But," said, "when I was behind the steel door on death row, a preacher came to me and told me the first time. He said, my preacher never even told me. He is too busy trying to be a mixer." I said, "I never did hear him preach on how Jesus loves sinners. A few sweet words may guide a lost one to his side, or turn sad eyes on Calvary. So work as they go by, that yonder none may cry. You never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me. You have me not the light to me day by day, and you knew I was astray, yet you never mentioned him to me."
And now the mystery preacher preaching on the kind shepherd. Bless you now.
When you're preaching, they'll go, "Clang her down. Clang it down, brother." They'll just get up and holler, "Clang it down," while you're preaching. And there's a preacher down there that uses alliteration a lot. He tickles me and say, "Y'all come on in. We're going to flop in, clang it down, and fellowship a while." And he and I was up in Indiana together. I was in revival in Indianapolis. And he came up, Brother Michael, and he wanted to go up to Hammond, Indiana, to the pastor's school one day. And we went up there together, and we was in my van, and I pulled in. And this young boy, this Yankee, was directing traffic and getting everybody parked. And Lynn McClain's got a doctor's degree. He's a very intelligent man. He's pastor of the, down in Opelika, Alabama, at the Philadelphia Baptist Church. Very intelligent man. But Lynn taught South Alabama. He looked at that boy standing there and he said, "How's your mama now?" That Yankee looked at him and said, "What?" He said, "How's your mama now?" He said, "What is a mononym?" He said, "You know what a synonym, an anonym, and a homonym is?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "But you don't know what a mononym is?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "Then you're not from the South. I'm asking you how your mother and your family is doing. I'm asking you how's your mononym?" "Yes, sir." "Oh." He said, "Come on, let's get out of here. These Yankees don't know anything." I'm glad I'm back in the South. I'll tell you what, it's hard preaching up North, because if you say, "I carried my wife somewhere," they'll say, "Wasn't she heavy?" They don't understand the language we talk down here. They really don't. But I'm glad I'm from the South. Amen. Glad to be saved and from the South. I've got a count. If you ever see me out in my truck riding around, it says,
Dixie, and that's the closest thing to heaven, and I believe that. I love the South. Let's read Psalms 23 together tonight. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to preach to you on the subject tonight, the kind shepherd. Now tonight we're going to look in these Psalms together. A lot of people get the idea that when David is writing the 23rd Psalm, that he was a young shepherd boy out tending the sheep. But that's not true, my friend. It's one of the oldest of the Psalms. And David was an old man when he was writing the 23rd Psalm. And he was looking back over his life, and he was reminiscing about some things that God had done in his life. And my friend, I want us to look at the 23rd Psalm tonight in the light of the kind shepherd. You see, under the old economy, the sheep gave their life for the shepherd. But under the new economy, the shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Tonight, I want us to look at Psalms 22, Psalms 23, and Psalms 24. In Psalms 22, we're going to see the grace of the shepherd. In Psalms 23, the guidance of the shepherd. And in Psalms 24, the glory of the shepherd. In Psalms 22, we'll see the shepherd's cross. In Psalms 23, we'll see the shepherd's crook. But in Psalms 24, we're going to see the shepherd's crown. In Psalms 22, we'll see him as our substitute. In Psalms 23, we'll see him as our shepherd. And in Psalms 24, we'll see him as our sovereign. In Psalms 22, you see Jesus Christ the same yesterday. In Psalms 23, he's Jesus Christ the same today. And in Psalms 24, he's Jesus Christ the same forevermore. He is the kind shepherd that gave his life for the sheep. I want us to look at Psalms 22 for just a moment and read a few verses. Verses 12 through 18 of Psalms chapter number 22. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They yelp upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. When you're reading in Psalms 22, you are reading about the grace that it took to buy you and I into the family of God. You are looking at the high price that was paid for what you and I are enjoying tonight that we call salvation. I'm glad that in salvation, I'm glad that God bought it, Jesus brought it, the Holy Spirit brought it, the Bible taught it, the devil fought it, and I called it. I'm glad that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I'm glad that salvation is great because if it speaks of a great person, it solves a great problem. It saves at a great price. It seizes a great possibility. It secures great privileges. It's sealed by a great power, but it speaks of a great penalty to those that turn it away. I'm glad that salvation is in the Lord tonight. Jesus is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And my friend, as I look at the person of salvation, I see him in the Bible as the seed of woman. I see him as the son of David. I see him as the Savior born of a virgin. I see him as the shining glory of God revealed unto man. I see him as a servant of Jehovah, obedient unto death. I see him as a shepherd, giving his life for the sheep. And I see him as a sacrifice for a guilty sinner. as I see him, I see him in his sovereign glory. I see him in his supernatural greatness. I see him in his saving grace. I see him in his satisfying goodness. I see him as salvation's gift. I'm going to see him at a soon gathering, and I'm going to see him as I shout goodbye and leave this world behind, my friend. Oh, my friend, you look at him. He's the living one tonight. I'm glad in John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, believeth thou this. I'm glad we are serving a risen, living Christ tonight. If you go to the Mohammeds will come to you, and they'll say, Mohammed was a good man. We can turn and say, Jesus Christ was a good man. They'll say, oh, but Mohammed died for his people. We can turn to them and say, Jesus Christ died for his people. But the Mohammeds can't go any further than that. We can turn again and say, Jesus rose and lived for his people, my friend. I'm glad he's the living one. He's the liberating one. He's the loving one. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Revelation 5:5. He's the ladder from earth to heaven. Genesis 28:12. He's the lily of the valley. Song of Solomon 2:1. He's the lofty one. Isaiah 57:15. He's the lowly in heart. Matthew 11:29. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. And as the Lamb of God, he was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3. Specified in Exodus chapter 12. Personified in Isaiah 53. Crucified in Matthew 27. Identified in John chapter 1. Magnified in Revelation 5. And glorified in Revelation 21. My friend, in the book of Genesis, you have a lamb for a man. In the book of Exodus, you have a lamb for a household. In Leviticus, you have a lamb for the nation of Israel. But in John, you've got a lamb for the whole world. And in Revelation, he's a lamb for the whole universe. Glory to God, he is and always will be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Oh, my friend, listen, the J in his name stands for justification. Amen. I like that word, justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. I'm justified through Jesus. I'm justified by faith. I'm justified to have favor with God. And I'm justified to have fellowship with God. Then the E in his name stands for example. He's my example in birth, in battles, and in baptism. Amen. And then, my friend, the S in his name stands for shepherd. One day, God opened a virgin womb and gave this world the good shepherd. And then one day, God opened a virgin tomb and gave this world the great shepherd. And one day, God's going to open the virgin's eyes and present the chief shepherd back to this world. Oh, my friend, he'll come exalted, he'll come excelling, and he'll come expected by the people of God. It's going to be different the next time he comes. Oh, my friend, the U in his name stands for unity. I have Jesus in a family union. Did you know if you're saved tonight, you're my brother and my sister in Christ? You say, Lord, preacher, don't tell anybody you're kin to me. You act like a nut. I may, honey, but I'm screwed on the right boat. And the devil ain't found a race to fit me yet, glory to God. I have him in a family union. I have him in a fellowship union. I have fellowship with God because of my relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I have him in a battle union when he comes with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Oh, my friend, it's going to be a final union one day. But then, my friend, the S in his name stands for satisfaction. I'm satisfied with the blood. Amen. Or in his blood, I find complete cleansing of my sin. I don't like these new perversions of the scriptures that take away the blood. I don't even like the soul books that take the blood souls out. The Bible said without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. My friend, you do away with the blood, we're all lost and on our way to hell.
but you can't go rid of God. It's powerful blood. It's pure blood. It's precious blood. And it's for the public glory to God. It's for whosoever will. Let him come and take of the water of life freely. But then, my friend, not only am I satisfied with the blood, for in that blood I find complete cleansing, but I'm satisfied with this old book. A 1611 authorized King James Version of the Bible. Amen. For in this book I find complete comfort. The Bible says, comfort one another with these words. Amen. He's coming just like he said he would. I've never seen a book like this book, Brother Joel. When I'm up, it shows me I need to be down. But when I'm down, it shows me how to get up. When I'm in, it shows me how far out I am. But when I'm out, it shows me how to get back in. When it's preached, it'll bless one and break another at the same time. It'll convict one, counsel another, and comfort another, and cleanse another all at the same time. It's been banned, it's been blamed, and it's been burned. But it's still the book of all books, my friend. I thank God for this book. For in it I find complete comfort. But then I'm satisfied with the blessed hope. For in the blessed hope I find complete cheer. Folks, he's coming. I'm glad I've got a hope that's steadfast and sure. I've got an acre that will endure. And my acre holds glory to God. I'm anchored in Jesus. And he's coming just like he said he would. Oh, my friend, listen. As I look at him, I see him as a shepherd that never, ever has lost a single sheep that belonged to him. Amen. Honey, I'm so saved, it's pitiful tonight. I'm as heaven bound and hell proof as you can get. I'm secure in him. He's a shepherd that never lost the sheep. He's a captain that's never lost the battle over the seas, over Satan, and over shipwrecked Christians. My friend, listen, he's a doctor that's never lost the case over disease, over demons, and over death. He's a son that's never failed his father. He's a groom that's never failed his bride. He's a prophet that never failed in prophecy. And he's a priest that never failed in sacrifice. Who is it? He's a person of my salvation. He's Jesus to me. Oh, my friend. I'm glad that the person of salvation, the grace that you and I are enjoying tonight, is all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's why it makes me sick when they show films like this one that they're showing that tries to do away with his deity. Amen? But he is the Son of God, just the same. It don't matter what the world says, he's still the Son of God. He's still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, my friend, I'm glad that he's everything we need tonight. Oh, as I look at the grace that I was preaching about, that it took to buy you and I into the family of God, I look at the cross tonight. And as I look at the cross, I see three crosses. Have you ever thought about this? One was dying on a cross of rebellion. He was dying the cost of sin. One was dying on a cross of repentance. He's dying from sin. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. While I'm right there, if I may, can I tell you, he probably enjoyed the most unusual weekend that anybody has ever spent. Amen. Have you ever thought about where that thief on the cross went to? Oh, some people think it'd be an unusual weekend to go to the Bahamas or to go to Hawaii or somewhere else or go up to Gatlinburg for a weekend. But I guarantee you, honey, the thief on the cross probably enjoyed the most unusual weekend that anybody has ever enjoyed. Here he is, died on a cross, my friend, because of his sin. But he just says, Lord, remember me when you come into kingdom. Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Now he's dying from that sin. Amen. And Jesus is dying, praise God, on the cross of redemption for the sin of the world. A lot of people think that Jesus from there, they took him to the tomb and he just laid him there for a few days and got up on the third day. Oh, no, 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 my friend. Listen, you read your Bible, you'll find about him going down to paradise where that thief was at, where all of those others were at. And he began to preach to them. Amen. And he let captives catch him and gave them to men. And then, my friend, hell was in a celebration. They thought they had stopped him. They thought he was finished. But he walked through the gulf into the flames of hell, grabbed the gates of hell and shook them. Then he grabbed hold of the devil and got the keys of death and hell away from him. Came back, carried up with him on high with the keys in his hand, saying, "Behold, I am he that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore." And he's sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for us tonight.
Oh, my friend, if you ever get the glimpse of what grace is all about, God's riches at Christ's expense, the unmerited favor of God, something God did for you and I that we didn't deserve. Oh, I saw something here a while back. I was over in a camp meeting over in Alabama, and Johnny Parrott, that used to be with the Kingsmen, was singing for me in the meeting, and he was singing "When He Was on the Cross, I Was on His Mind." And I preached that night on "Behold the Lamb." And God showed me something in Isaiah 53 that I've skipped over many times before. The Bible said, "When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed." God saw you and I right from the cross of Calvary, my friend. Listen, think about it. While he was bleeding and dying on an old rugged cross, we are his seed. We're the ones that are saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And God saw you and I from the cross. I was already in his mind and in his heart, glory to God. And the next verse said, he'll be satisfied. I believe a smile broke out from the face of the Savior when he realized what was taking place.
Oh,
my friend. You see the sufferings of that bitter cup, first of all. He was in the garden. The Bible said he prayed until his sweat became as what? Great drops of blood. Now, you ever think about this? He was looking in that cup. And no doubt in that cup, you know what was in there? My sin, your sin, the sin of the world. But listen, in that cup, he also saw the suffering that was going to take place in front of him. I believe he saw the spitting. I believe he saw the slapping. I believe he saw the scourging. I believe he saw beating him with a cap of nine tails and ripping the meat right off of his back. The Bible said it looked like furrows had been plowed in his back. Isaiah said his feces was marked. He looked like a bloody piece of raw meat hanging on that cross. You couldn't even tell he was a human being, my friend. I believe he saw the stripping. I believe he saw the slaying that was in front of him. I believe he saw every bit of the suffering. But glory to God, he looked a little deeper in that cup, and he saw salvation for a guilty sinner like me. He saw the stopping of Satan in that cup. He saw the end of the devil in that cup. He saw satisfaction of a sovereign God. The Bible said it pleased God to bruise his own son. But he saw, my friend, shouting by the saints of God, that will have victory in Jesus through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The suffering of the bitter cup. But then the suffering of that brutal crowd that he had to face. Have you ever thought about this? Now, the bitter cup was awful. But here is the same crowd that just a few days before, on the fifth day of the Passover, he came in riding on a little donkey. And they threw down palm branches in their coats. And they were hollering, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the King!"
Amen.
The same bunch is now hollering, "Crucify." Yes. Yes. Have you ever thought about that? That's one of the things I believe that broke his heart. If you read Psalm 22, the scripture that I read to you, the Bible said his heart busted and ran down into the midst of his infections and his bowels. Jesus died of a broken heart. By the way, they did not take his life. He gave it. Don't ever let the devil make you think that. Oh, my friend, think about this. I heard a lot of people arguing. I was in Israel 31 days, and I sat and listened to some of those Jewish scholars arguing about who was responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus. I'll tell you who's responsible. Listen, the Romans were in that they condemned him. The Jews were in that they crucified him. God himself was responsible because, my friend, listen, he had compassion on you and I. Jesus Christ himself was responsible. He could have called 10,000 angels to loose him and let him go free. But you and I are responsible because of our condition. We're born in sin. There had to be a blood sacrifice for the sin of the world to keep you and I out of hell. And Jesus paid that price in full on Calvary's cross. Oh, my friend. The suffering of that brutal crowd that said, Hosanna, now they're saying, crucify. The suffering of the blasphemous crown that they put on his head. And then, my friend, the suffering of him bearing his cross alone. Now, think about this. He bled that I could belong. His back was lashed that I could be lifted. He took a cross that I could wear a crown. He took our hell, folks, that we could go to heaven. Oh, my friend, think about what he suffered on that cross. But you know, on the cross, just as he said, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which is my God, why hast thou forsaken me? On the cross, Jesus Christ uttered this word. This is in the original manuscripts. The word there is T-E-L-E-S-T-I. Teleskai. You know what it means? It is finished. I was in Israel for 31 days, and Brother Michael, I saw houses over there that had a sign hanging on the side of them. It said T-E-L-E-S-T-I. I walked up and I knocked on the door of one of those houses. The man of the house came out. I said, sir, I said, I know what Teleskai means to me, but you've got it hanging on your house here, and I wish that you would tell me what Teleskai means hanging on your house like this. He smiled at me and he said, sir, it means this house is paid for in full. And nobody can ever take it away from me. When Christ was on the cross and he said, Teleskai, he was saying, they're mine. I'm buying them with my blood. And the devil and all the demons in hell will never take them away from me.
My glory. Amen.
While I was there, we went to Haifa. We saw the Jews put on a play about their culture and about their people. Big play. Boy, it was beautiful. When they finished that play, we gave them a standing ovation. The lead actor walked over to the corner of the stage, and he bowed to that great host of actors and actresses, threw his thumb up, and he said, Teleskai. I was sitting there, and I heard what he said. He was leaving and going back to the dressing room. I was right behind him. I said, sir. He said, no autographs. I said, I don't want an autograph. I want some information. He said, what can I help you with, sir? I said, I know what the word Teleskai means to me. But when you throw your thumb up and you bow to that great host of actors and actresses after that wonderful play, and you said Teleskai, I said, sir, can you tell me what it meant? He said, oh, yes. I was telling them, we have performed the plan to the jot and to the tittle without...